Welcome to episode 277 of WordPress Weekly for Wednesday, June 14th, 2017. I'm your host, Jeff Chandler, joined by J-Trip.
Hello, how are you today?
Wow, it's great to hear your normal voice versus, just prior to the show, Triple J, for whatever reason, decided to go a couple octaves lower.
That was like Roboto voice. I think that happened to Marcus on an episode when I was... I tuned in once before, and it happened to me and Jeremy Felt when we recorded an episode of that other podcast that I stopped doing. But I don't know what's up. It's weird.
Well, we get it all fixed now. We get the real Triple J. We get the real voice now on the show. And hey, time flies. We're back here again to talk WordPress. What a great show we had last week. We had a great time with John Brown. Guy from Nine Seeds, and we talked about remote workers and how to stay productive, and overall it was a great show, and the after show was like 3 hours long, so it was kind of vintage WordPress Weekly last week.
So are we just going to keep it rolling? Is that what's going to happen? We're gonna say, hey, thanks for tuning in, y'all, and then we're going to pretend to stop talking, and then we'll keep talking for another hour and a half again?
I don't know. Well, we don't have any guests today, so just be you and me, but hey, we've talked for hours on him before. But before we get into this week's stories, I want to send a shout-out, thoughts and prayers, positive vibes to Jesse Peterson, who is a longtime member of the WordPress community and founder of Genesis THE.me or Genesis, I want to say Genesis Theme, but it's not, kind of a weird domain name. But he received the call last Friday to receive a double lung transplant, but the surgery was canceled after doctors determined the lungs were bad after removing them from the patient. So they considered it a dry run. So Peterson, if you don't know, he's battling cystic fibrosis. He's got low lung function and he's on a waiting list now. He's a patient for waiting for double lungs. So it's he's written a couple of articles, mm-hmm. somewhere around the 3,000 to 4,000 words, which kind of take you in depth into how he was feeling and the emotional states throughout the days as he was going through the process of getting ready for the transplants. But overall, he ended up with some positivity, some positive vibes. It's better off that he didn't get the bad lungs, which could have caused him years of problems afterwards, versus, it's just a better situation overall. So he's got his head up. He's got positive vibes. He's in the hospital, and he's waiting on that call. He's waiting for the call again, and hopefully those are the lungs. Those are the perfect lungs he's been waiting for. So just wanted to send a shout-out, maybe some positive vibes to Jesse, and hope he gets that call soon.
Yeah, if you want to read some of his thoughts, and I thought they're really open and really, he's dealing with it really, really well considering everything that continues to happen. I mean, I couldn't imagine the needing two lungs, thinking you have two lungs, and then no longer, and then having zero lungs. I mean, it's just heartbreaking. It's an unbelievable story. So, the website that I've been creeping on when trying to keep up with Jesse is cffatboy.com, which is pretty hilarious, I think. So, I echo Jeff's thoughts. Hang in there, buddy.
Absolutely. So one of the news items kind of made the rounds last week is that WordPress 4.8 Evans was released. Now this release is named after William John Bill Evans, who was an American jazz pianist. And sometimes I discover these artists, I look them up on Wikipedia, I start reading the backlog, and
I like that you're being this modest right now, as if you don't know who this is. You being the jazz aficionado that you are, Jeff, I'm surprised that you're being this modest.
I have. Listen, I listen to rock and grunge, 90s. That's my thing. I could tell you all about that stuff. Jazz? No way. But I was reading, and Mr. John Bill Evans here ended up, he had a bit of a rough life when he ran into drugs and... very talented individual, but
the most people when they run into drugs.
Okay. Look, you got a point there. But, it was sad to find out that the drugs got him. He ended up overdosing at some point, but it was actually pretty interesting sort of story about his life on the Wikipedia article that we linked up to on the Tavern. But I was listening to some of the music he created on YouTube, and it's quite nice. It's great to listen to as you're updating sites.
I like that the WordPress release videos always include some snippet from the artist that the releases are named after, because it introduces everyone to an artist's work that they may not otherwise have any exposure to. I think it's really cool.
And 4.8 has new image, video, and audio widgets. Makes posting that type of content a lot easier on the site, especially the image widget. Now, up until we had this image widget, people had to go and create this HTML and put it inside a text widget, maybe upload. I guess the process would be uploading the image to the WordPress Media Library, then get the actual URL for that image, then create some HTML. Maybe you can create the HTML like in the post editor for that image, copy that, go to the widget administration screen, go to the text widget, and paste in the HTML to show an image in a widget in WordPress. Cumbersome to say the least. We've been doing that for years outside of if you're using a plugin that adds kind of this functionality to the text widget. But now it's built in the core, something that probably should have been in core years ago. But hey, now it's here. Also, one of the other features is that the text widget has it's sort of like the same editor as the post editor. So now there's TinyMCE, there's a visual editor and a text editor now within the text widget, which has caused some people some problems because just like the visual editor, if you post in code, whether that be script, if there's spaces, sometimes the P, the paragraph thing, I think auto, what they call
it? WP-Auto-P.
WP-Auto-P. Create some spacing and paragraphs in there, and it's causing some people's widgets to mess up or the code to not work correctly. And the team is well aware of this, some of these instances. In fact, I think in 4.8.1, they're actually going to create a new text widget where it's just HTML. I guess it would be pretty much the classic text widget that we had. So you'd be able to use that to specifically paste code into. But there's some people experiencing issues there. And another thing is, even if you're in your user profile, there's an option to disable the visual editor, so you only see the text one, and even that option is not respected within the text widget, so you still see the visual editor. So there's that issue as well. All these things have been reported, things that are going to be worked on, and maybe all the bugs will be ironed out by the time 4.8.1 comes around.
You know, it doesn't seem like it, but adding TinyMCE, adding the visual editor to that widget was sort of an ambitious project. It wasn't until recently that we could actually safely have multiple versions of that editor interface on the same page at the same time without them going bonkers on each other.
They have a technical term now. It's called instantiating.
That's been around for a while, Jeff.
That's the word, right? Well, I mean, I read the technical or the detailed technical details that Weston Reuter posted about how TinyMCE was added to the text widget, and there's a lot to it.
There is.
That's where I learned the word instantiating.
It's true. You have an instance.
It's like a WordPress version of Sesame Street.
Well, WordPress has a reputation to uphold. I'm sure that there were a lot of people that didn't know what taxonomy meant before they were. Right. Or there are people like myself who have to slow down to say the word hierarchical. So, we have lots of terminology that's like everyday wording that is not everyday to like anyone who's not deep into the WordPress thing.
And 4.8 also includes link boundaries, which is a bit difficult to explain. But if you're in the visual editor, like in 4.7, if I added the link, sometimes when I wanted to continue writing normal text that wasn't linked, I'd be stuck. That text would be added into the link. So what this link boundary does is it shows you in blue, it sort of highlights the text, the link, and the cursor can either be, if it's inside this highlighted area, it means anything you add there is going to be linked. And if you're outside that area, it won't be linked. So it gives you a visual representation of when you're in and outside the link area. And it's actually come in handy for me a couple of times already. And I like it. And I think it's a feature that people were still getting to grips with. I know I've seen a couple of reports on the support forums that they're still learning how to use it. Mm-hmm. So they think that what they think might be a bug or it's not working correctly, it's actually doing what it should be mm-hmm. doing, and some people are not used to it. But yeah, it's one of those nifty little features in the visual editor that personally for me, I really enjoy it because now it makes writing links a whole lot easier.
I want to talk about link boundaries for a second, because between link boundaries and having the visual editor in the widgets, I think that these are two really good examples of how different types of developers are able to or choose to focus on different areas of improvement. So what I mean by that is, like, the link boundaries feature to me, not only is it like it's like such an obvious thing that we should have had for a really long time, it also is the type of fit and finish and polish that you would expect from something like WordPress that integrates and pulls in a really sophisticated editor like TinyMCE. Love it or hate it, it's like the best version of visual editing on the web that is around. So to add this style of linking into it, it feels very right. Like, it feels very finished and complete. But like like we just touched on before with the visual editor being in the text widget now, it's like it was a major feature. It needed a lot of work. Weston had to do a lot of like under the hood weirdness to make sure that TinyMCE would work correctly. But when it's new and it's brand new, you just don't have the opportunity to put on the type of fit and finish and polish that something like it link boundaries took years to become a thing that we were like, oh, duh, yeah, of course. And so I think that it's a testament to us and WordPress and all of the contributors just moving a lot more quickly. Like, the text widget will get fixed and tied into the visual editor user setting and all these things like in the next release. It won't take 5 years to become polished. It will just instantly become followed up with and polished and really nice. So, and link boundaries reminds me of like how difficult it is to switch your code editor or like your writing editor if you use Google Docs and then you switch to Word or something else. Like, everything handles line breaks differently, and everything yeah. handles the home key and the end key and up and down. And like, once you switch to something, you just feel like you're typing left-handed or typing backwards or upside down. Like, it just doesn't feel right. And so something like the link boundaries is going to take users a little bit to get used to, because you have to hit the arrow key one extra time and you have to do something that your habit has changed. And so it's weird at first, but in the end, it's definitely the type of polish that I love seeing going into WP Admin in the dashboard, because it takes thought and time and a lot of testing to make sure that these things work right. So I know link boundaries is sort of a small thing, but I appreciate seeing that little stuff go in. I think it's really great.
One of the other features I love and use all the time, it's so awesome to me, because I'm a writer. That's what I do for a living. I write about WordPress. So I use the visual editor all the time. I think it was 4.7 that added this, but if you can add links now just by highlighting the words, doing Control V, if you already have the link, paste it, and boom, the link the text turns into a link. And that saved me so much time, because I now don't have to go through that link dialog box anymore.
Right.
Man, yeah, it's a great feature.
I agree.
Well, we also have an addition to the WordPress News dashboard widget. So there's a couple of different headlines there from different WordPress sites to keep you up to date on what's going on in the WordPress community. But now there's a box, and if you type in, it'll automatically try and guess where your location is. But if it's wrong, there's a box now. You can type in your city or the nearest major city that's close to you. And the widget will actually show you nearby WordPress meetups and WordCamps that are within a, I'd say, I don't know, 1-2 hour maybe drive, maybe 2 hours, just stretching it a little bit. There's actual numbers as far as distance goes on the technical description of the widget on the Make blog, but roughly nearby. And what this does is it really there are so many people out there who have no idea about a WordPress meetup or community that's happening in their area. And what this does is this exposes that side of the WordPress community to millions of people who may otherwise have no idea about it. So it'll be interesting. I don't know if somehow it'll be tracked, because Matt likes to post these stats about attendees and meetups and stuff like that during the State of the Word. But it'll be interesting to see if somehow those numbers really ramp up because of something like this added to the dashboard. Like, the awareness of those meetups and the WordCamps is theoretically increased.
I'm surrounded by meetups. It picks up every single one of them. Janesville, Milwaukee, Chicago, Madison. It pulls all of them in. So it must be a few hours. I'm only 2 hours from Chicago. So, but it's kind of nicer having that in the dashboard than having it come via email in my inbox. Like, it's surprisingly convenient to go, oh yeah, there's a meetup happening on Monday. I should put that in the calendar. I should, you know, remind my wife that this thing is happening or whatever else. Like, I don't know. It's really convenient. It's a good idea.
And the sidebar is sort of responsive now, where instead of having a maximum width of 300 pixels in WordPress 4.8, the customizer sidebar will increase in width up to a maximum of 600 pixels, depending on the width of your screen. I know on my monitor, I think I have a 21-inch widescreen monitor. The customizer sidebar is 345 pixels now instead of 300. And it may sound like a small amount, but it's definitely noticeable. And I appreciate the difference, actually. So it's not, you can't manually adjust how wide it is, but you know, this responsiveness is a huge step in the right direction. I don't know if I'm going to call it a stopgap measure, but it's a much needed improvement to what we had previously, being locked into that 300 pixel sidebar.
Yeah, I have a feeling we'll get an adjustable one eventually. It's just nice to see this happen in stages and steps in sort of a methodical way, so that you know, it. Even though something that's adjustable seems like it should be pretty easy, you suddenly run into all these weird problems. Like, should it be persistent? And so, if I resize it to 534 pixels, should it always stay that way, or should it be persistent across devices? And so, if I open it on my iPad, should it be a different size than it is on my monitor versus my phone? And then, should it be persistent for across the site, or should it be persistent as like a user setting where yours is a different width than mine because we have different preferences? Like, all of a sudden, some really simple feature becomes something that is exponentially more complicated. And so I think testing the waters with a hard-coded staggered width, depending on the size of the screen, is an easy win to test this out and see if people are happy with it being bigger. And if they are, then everyone can start looking into and testing different and other approaches. So I think it's a smart move. I like it.
The admin pages in the back end are now more accessible now that the H2 elements have been separated from other elements on the page. So that makes it easier for assistive technologies to help people navigate pages. With 4.8, support has been drafted for Internet Explorer versions 8, 9, and 10, and there was much rejoicing from developers all over the world. Now, support will remain for Internet Explorer 11. It turns out that 8, 9, and 10 no longer receive security updates and are used by a small percentage of people. Now, WordPress 4.8 will work in those browsers, but some features related to Tiny MCE will be limited. So there you go. New features will no longer be tested against these older versions of IE. So, I mean, as a developer, J-Chip, you're probably happy about that.
Progress. Funny. It is progress, but it's sort of a sad day to watch Internet Explorer go away. And, you know, it hasn't really been that big of a problem for a while. It's only when it becomes a problem for someone when it's suddenly an enormous problem. So it's sort of officially saying it out loud doesn't change what it's kind of been for a few years, I feel like. So, you know, thank you for all the memories, IE, but, you know, on the bigger and better.
So there's also been changes to the editor API. Embeds of WMV and WMA files are no longer supported. The links will still show up, but those actual files are no longer supported. There's been new capabilities and other enhancements for WordPress multi-site. Hey, WordPress, something you mentioned in a major release. That's good news. Accessibility improvements to the Tag Cloud widget. There's also a media widgets API. Of course, a couple of the different external libraries have been updated to newer versions. And this release, of course, was led by Matt Mullenweg and Jeff Paul. 346 people contributed to WordPress 4.8, and 106 of those 346 people were first-time contributors. So our hats off to you folks.
That's awesome. That's a lot.
That is a lot. And one of the things, so as I typically do, I'll browse the WordPress.org support forums after a new major version is released and just kind of keep an eye on the troubleshooting WordPress section. And I came across a support thread that says that they couldn't edit the text link color with WordPress 4.8. So within the visual editor, you can create text, edit the color of the text, with the little font color changer. There's a button in TinyMCE for that. And then if you link that text, it will show the color that you changed the text to. But if you link the text first and then try and alter the color is not represented. It doesn't change. So I'm pretty sure this is a bug. I was able to replicate this on my MacBook Pro and Firefox. It seems like a bug to me that you would have to do this one thing or have to do this a certain way. It mm-hmm. seems like it would be more natural to link the text and then change the color of the link. So I actually created a track ticket and labeled it as a new defect or a bug. I said I was able to replicate this. And I posted a link to the support thread, and I said, hey, I did a search. I didn't see any other tickets for there, and I figured, hey, at least it's reported now. It's here. I've linked it up. And I showed you. I said, hey Jay, look, I did a thing. And you said, I saw you did a thing. Let's talk about how to file a good bug report.
So, okay. I believe my feedback was something to the effect of that was not necessarily the world's best bug report. It's not the worst, but it's definitely not the best bug report that I.
Well, I was in a hurry. Okay. Anyway, I'll put down my excuses for now. But all right, so. Give me your take on what actually would be a good bug report, which maybe others could give some advice for our listeners out there.
So bug reports are, they're supposed to be pretty easy, but they really aren't. And even as, even for myself, I feel like I've been a software developer for more than half of my life. And bug reporting is hard because it's different, I think, a little bit between projects, and the etiquette is different and the expectations are different and the audiences are usually pretty different. And so one of the things that GitHub rolled out a few years ago that I thought was really useful was the idea of a template for your new ticket or your new bug. And so if you go to GitHub on a lot of projects, individual projects can set up their own templates to say, this is what I want to see in a new ticket or issue or bug report or whatever. And we don't have that on track for ourselves yet. We do have some lockdown on some of the features that track has, like version milestone, all these categories, ways to categorize issues are not for everyone to use or see. But generally, when it comes to a bug report, the workflow is something to the effect of like a very brief description of what the problem is, usually less than 80 characters, if you can keep it that way, like this thing is broken, or like a very brief summary, an excerpt of the problem. And then you start off with what you did, what you expected to happen, and then what actually happened. And so in the WordPress track, when it comes to issues like this, I think it's pretty straightforward. What you did, what you expected to happen, and then what didn't happen. What I usually do, though, and where I have a problem myself as an experienced developer, is I sort of assume that the people that I've worked with on WordPress for a really long time have any idea what it is that I'm talking about in the first place, which is sometimes no longer the case because there are so many contributors and so many people that are working on in each individual feature that it is completely possible that I will open up a ticket on a multi-site related issue, imagining Jeremy Felt or Felix being the person who's going to reply to me. And it will be a completely different person who chooses to try and patch this or has questions about things that I haven't been completely detailed or descriptive about. I also, like one of the things that like I have a problem with, not to make this be, you know, all about me, but I usually make the mistake of having some sort of recommended fix in my issue or like in the ticket. Like I usually don't file a bug unless I've already done some of the work into figuring out what the actual fix for that bug is going to be. Otherwise I sort of feel like I'm just piling the workload onto somebody else. Like, hey, I found this freckle and it's up to you to cover it up is like not a very polite way to point things out. So I usually try to say like, I found a problem. This is what I did. This is what I expected. And then here is one recommended way to fix it. But it almost every single time that I try to do that, it usually doesn't work out in my favor. Like I've ended up putting the cart before the horse. Like I have come up with one solution, which I think on the receiving end of it, and I know this even on looking at WordPress core stuff or security issues or stuff for BuddyPress or BBPress, where when someone works too far ahead, it makes the receiving end of that bug happen a little bit more slowly. So bug reports are nuanced. They are not as easy as they could be or should be. So, you know, your bug report was you linked to the forums, which is awesome. You explained what the problem is. But you started off with your first line is, I'm able to verify the issue reported in the following support thread using Firefox 54. Like, there's no actual description of the issue. It's in the title, which is also fine, but there's no, like, here's what I did, and here's what it is. It sort of links off to the forum. So, like, I would probably include, like, the literal steps of go into the editor, click on this. When you click on this, this should happen. This doesn't happen. If you do it this other way, it works okay or whatever else. Like the details of duplicating the problem.
I gotcha.
End up being more important than whether or not you verified it, whether or not, you know, da 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 da. I think steps to duplicate or replicate the issue, like one by one by one by one, are like the ideal across the board. Every single project, just tell me how to replicate what you're seeing, because then if I can't replicate it, I've followed your steps, and I can say I followed your steps and I still can't duplicate the bug. Makes it really easy to work through or read tickets like this versus having to click around and open stuff up and hunt around and try and guess at what the issue is.
Gotcha. Yep. That's actually great feedback. And now I'm going to delete my ticket and start over.
So what's funny is the, like, When there are lots of tickets that end up in the WordPress track that are like this, and I ran across there's been a bug in the code editor that I have used for a really long time that I catch a lot of flack for, because no one else seems to enjoy my passion for my code editor as much as I do, but there's been a bug in it for several years, and it's a dumb bug. It doesn't even really impact very much, but it's an IDE, so it's a pretty sophisticated code editor, and it has spell check in it for, you know, words that are in whatever language that you speak, and so it checks your spelling and everything. And but if you have a word that is spelled correctly in your PHP documentation, and there is a single quote after a correctly spelled word, it will mark it as not correctly spelled. And so, like, if you try to quote something in your documentation that says, like, you know, this feature is called, you know, add new whatever, well, it whatever would show up as misspelled, even though it wasn't. It's like, oh, it's been like it shows up with a red squiggly line underneath it, and it's like irritating to see in the editor. But I've lived with it for like several years at a time. And so I was like, finally, I'm going to go into netbeans.org. I'm going to sign in. I'm going to make a ticket. I'm going to upload some screenshots. I'm going to describe how to duplicate the problem. And I'm going to go through it. Today's going to be the day. And the one thing that that parlays into talking about bug reports is that it's really important to search the bug tracker to see if anyone has created the issue before you, because you don't want to make a duplicate ticket. You don't want to put all this time and effort into a ticket that's just going to get closed right away because a different one was open before yours. And so I found a ticket that was open in NetBeans' Bugzilla, and it was from like a year and a half ago. And it was like one lonely person who no one replied to, just like you, with this ticket sitting out in the universe. Like, hey, I found a problem, and like no response. Like no one looks at it, no one watches it, no one puts it in a waiting room, no one puts it anywhere. It's just like, well, okay, you've got no response. And so that's one of the things that, even with dozens of contributors, I know that there are a lot of people at WordCamp Europe at the Contributor Summit, which, by the way, hello everybody. You know, it's kind of a bummer to go through the work of opening a track ticket and thinking that someone may care. And then, you know, 2 or 3 days goes by and there's just crickets. after a year or two go by, you're like, well, no one's ever going to look at this. And so I had the thought, I was like, I wonder what this poor lonely NetBeans user is thinking, like out in the world when they get this email about this issue that they've completely forgotten about, but that frustrates them on a daily basis too. It's like, oh, I have a partner in the universe somewhere who actually cares about this one stupid thing. So I thought about you the other day when I was doing my own bug report too.
Thank you. Thank you very well. There you go. So the TLDL version, yes. Too long, didn't listen. for the podcast edition of that is to, when you're filing the bug report, be as detailed as possible and do a step-by-step on how to replicate it. And then do a step-by-step on, I guess, how you solved it or how you fixed it, if possible.
If possible. If you know how to fix it, then
or at least say that those steps fixed it for you.
If you have a solution, it's almost better to include your proposed solution as a comment after you've created your ticket. Because then everyone else that's looking at what the problem is, it's like going to the doctor and saying like, hello, doctor, my elbow hurts when I do this. Like, that's all the doctor really needs to know about at first. Eventually, you might want to get into, it doesn't hurt when I do this other thing. But if you preload that information to the doctor, then you sort of change the way they're going to address your symptoms and problems. Right. So it's usually better to let someone go through their own steps than to try and influence them with your own process.
Gotcha. Well, feedback duly noted, sir, and I'll keep that in mind for the next bug report I want to file. I want to do my part and be as helpful as possible, and I'm glad you gave me some tips.
Well, and you know, I figured I'd give you these pointers, and they'd probably be useful for somebody else out there. And the thing I think about this too is everyone else's take on this is going to be different. There will be people that will have different ideas and better feedback even than I'm going to have. So that is usually my approach, but someone else is going to have way more details and a step-by-step and everything else. So
This next story is pretty cool. Harari, Zimbabwe, which, by the way, I actually went on to Google and typed in, how do you say Harari? And there's actually a video. You know, they have videos now where you just listen to them and it's someone saying the word three times. You actually get to hear how a word's pronounced. Man, the wonders of the internet. So Harare, Zimbabwe will be hosting its second WordCamp on November 4th, 2017 at Hellenic Academy. Now, what makes this story awesome is that this city was one of three selected to be part of the WordCamp Incubator Program in 2016. So Harare's first WordCamp was successful in connecting the local WordPress community and inspiring local leaders to carry on with organizing future events. That in and of itself is pretty damn cool. It's what the Incubator Program was created with. It was sort of that was the end goal, to create an event in these areas that could be easily reproducible for in the future. Now, last year, the Harari WordPress meetup had 82 members, and the group has since nearly doubled in size with 142 members today. Now, last year's event was a bit larger than they had originally expected because few attendees purchased tickets online. In fact, many of them purchased tickets at the door, so that was pretty cool. So they're looking forward to this year's event. The Hellenic Academy donated the venue, so the facility is well suited to host a tech event. It'll have Wi-Fi, and overall, it looks to be a great event. But this is just a really cool story, an actual live example of the Andrea Middleton and the folks and the volunteers at WordCamp Central, and maybe even part of the, well, I guess, I don't know, maybe part of the WordPress Foundation. They ought to be pretty proud of themselves to see Harare, Zimbabwe doing their second WordCamp based on the WordCamp incubator program.
Yep. The incubator program goes back a long time, many, many years ago, talking about things that we could eventually do and turn WordCamps into. And so it's neat to see these things start coming to life and being amazing and impacting other people's lives. It's great.
And it's great to see some of the comments on the article. In fact, there's going to be somebody there from Greece, and it'll be their first visit to Zimbabwe as well. So that's pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Well, there's a major update on the way to a plugin that you may not have heard about in a long time, but it's actually WP Supercache. They're working on a new REST API, user-friendly settings page, and improvements to legacy file storage. So WP Supercache, it's a WordPress caching plugin that has been maintained by Danica. come on, help me. Help me, Triple J.
I will mispronounce it also, even though I've had Danica pronounce it for me in both the like normal person speak and like his native language speak. I will butcher it both ways, so I'm not even going to try.
Darn, I wanted it to be your fault because you said it. We'll just call him Danica O. But he's been the maintainer of WP Supercache for years now. He's one of the people who created it. He's looking for people to test the plugin ahead of the next major release. So there's going to be a REST API, which is going to be useful for situations where administrators are not using WP Admin to manage their sites. The plugin is also changing the location for storing legacy cache files to the Supercache directories. And Danica says this will make it a lot easier to manage these files. It says the plugin doesn't have to search through potentially hundreds of cache files for those that need to be deleted if a page updates or someone leaves a comment. Now all those files will be in the same directory structure. The anonymous Supercache files will be in. He says he's really excited about this feature as it makes caching for logged in users and users who comment and caching of pages with parameters so much faster now. There's also a revamped sort of settings page, WP Supercache settings, so things are a bit easier to understand, and the different caching options are a little bit more well-explained, so there's pretty cool there. And this thing, there's actually nearly 100 bugs fixed in this release, so you definitely probably want to give the beta version a try. It's available on GitHub on a staging site to make sure none of those 100 bug fixes causes you any issues. But great to hear the amount of effort that's going back into WP Supercache. And there you go, a caching plugin utilizing the REST API. So even that's pretty interesting in and of itself.
That's a pretty sweet idea. I remember when WP Supercache didn't have settings. It just dropped in. Now it's got all these tabs and lots of stuff going on.
So there you have it. Good stuff on the way for WP Supercache users. And the last thing I want to talk about today, possibly, is that Imagely has acquired Tesla Themes. Imagely, they're the maintainers of the next-gen gallery plugin, have acquired Tesla Themes, which is a theme club that started in 2013. The company recently celebrated its fourth anniversary, and the company has 68 themes in its library, including the Tesla Themes framework. I remember actually when Tesla Themes launched, I featured them on WP Tavern because they had a couple of themes that really set them apart presentation-wise from the rest of the pack from what I was noticing. Good, crisp, clean, flat design. Mm-hmm. It was pretty cool stuff. And they were doing things under a theme club model, which I thought was interesting because theme clubs have come and gone, and some people have ditched them for just selling themes, $79, or selling them individually. But they're actually pretty successful with their theme club model. And Eric Danzer, founder and CEO of Imagely, says that no major changes will be happening with Tesla themes, and that their immediate focus will be to provide maintenance and support. So good news if you're a Tesla themes customer on that front. And this is actually the second exit by Marcel Sobieski, co-founder of Tesla themes, and his team, who confirmed that they exited the company on June 9th. They're actually doing, they got another venture, if you could believe that, that they're into doing these startups, but it's called WPmatic.io, which is a one-on-one WordPress support and development company. And he says that the 6 years of experience that they have in WordPress is already helping a few hundred clients and tens of companies and agencies in need right after purchasing a WordPress theme from the market. He says soon they're going to start partnering with some of the best WordPress theme clubs to deliver a unique experience to their clients. Now, on top of all this, Danzer said that he actually put out a call. Says, if you have a solid WordPress product with a great brand and stable revenue over or around $200,000 and you are looking to exit, feel free to reach out to him directly to chat. So there you go.
You know what I like about Tesla themes is that their website is amazing. Like, it looks really unique and not like other people's websites. It highlights their work really well. They've got good use of color. They've got lots of, animations and things going on to keep you interested and makes you curious on clicking on things. And I think the Array Themes guy's website is kind of makes me think the same way. But the folks at Tesla Themes have a pretty sweet looking BB Press forum for supporting all of their themes. They did a really good job of making BB Press look really simple and clean and styling it without, going too crazy with it. So kudos. It looks really, really great.
Yeah, props to them. And if anybody is listening and you're at WordCamp Europe, Marcel, the co-founder of Tesla Themes, is there. So be sure to shake his hand, congratulate him, and ask him about WPmatic. So there you have it. Congrats to them. And like I said, if you've got a plugin or theme and you're looking to get out, looking for someone to buy it off of you, and you got revenue of around or past $200,000, you might get in touch with the folks over at Imagely. You might be able to take it off your hands for you. All right. So, you have anything you want to specifically talk about or bring up that's going on in the WordPress space, well, I'll mention something.
I feel like we're going off script. I don't know what to expect.
I'll mention something. So there's this thing that was going around on Twitter earlier this week where you post a picture and however many people like it, that's how many times you have to make a confession or something about your life. It's a way for people to get to know you. And I was, of course, reading up on some of your tweets, and one of the things you said is that you're basically going broke trying to be a full-time WordPress/open source contributor with a link to your sponsorship page. And then I found out that because of finances that you weren't able to go to WordCamp Europe this year, which is probably a huge bummer for you.
It is kind of a bummer.
And I just wanted to maybe highlight a little bit. I think we've talked about this before, but maybe highlight a little bit about, this. You're going broke being a full-time open source contributor. What's up with that, man? Do I need to start? Do I have to do a crowdfunding campaign for you?
No. I mean, no. Thank you. but no. It's tough. It's an experiment. It's something that I'm, trying to figure out and learning how to do and testing the waters and am enjoying all of those things like I have a tendency to do. But it's hard. It's hard to be your own content marketer and the strategist and accountant and also do the work and all of it at the same time. And especially without really having, you know, successful product. Really, my only successful product is me, and that's that doesn't scale very well into anything else. And so, and so it's tough. It's, I mean, I have a sponsorship, and but that is still for 2017 for me is a very frugal lifestyle. I've got a mortgage. I've got a, you know, got cars and life and bills and things. And so it's not particularly easy to afford those things when you're not actively working on deals, going out, getting new clients, selling products, whatever else. And so it's tough.
So,
and
so are you really just trying to answer the question, is it possible to do this?
It kind of, and I'd like to see if it's possible. I'd like to personally know if it's possible for me. But in general, I think it's a healthy experiment for WordPress as a project to be able to prove or say or have an example of someone completely independent working on and being pretty committed to just working on WordPress and the .org and the surrounding projects and plugins and everything else. So it's a little bit of that. It's also like this is the first year, I think, where the like WordCamp Europe had sponsorship scholarships for like travel scholarships. And we had talked about doing that years ago. And it was, you know, I've pretty much myself have been really lucky to have been invited to or visited or went to pretty much every community summit that we've ever had, at least stateside. And so even when the scholarships, someone had reached out and said, hey, you should apply for one of these. And my thought is that the scholarships are for new people. They're for people that have never been to a community summit before. Like I can keep up and catch up with what's going on with WordPress core. But if I was able to go, and someone else that was new would miss out on that opportunity is unfair. And that's generally my outlook on working on WordPress core or BuddyPress or BBPress or any of those things is like, I don't want to put myself first. I hope that my work or my commitment or my ability speaks for itself. And so far it has, but not in a way that has been completely sustainable for me. And, you know, I'm not a closer. I'm not out asking for money. I'm not out selling, things on the regular. And so I sort of need or hope for people to be my advocate in that way. And that is unfair for me to expect or for me to ask for. So, I mean, it's kind of a complicated setup.
If I had a WordPress agency or WordPress company, my five for the future, I'd just give you a certain amount of money. I'd be like, I'm doing my five for the future because I gave Triple J money, and Triple J is working on WordPress.
And that's like I really want to make sure that the people that are sponsoring me can feel like they are getting value out of it. And so with Pantheon and Pagely both at this point, I try to stay in communication with them on the regular and ask them what's up and if I can help and if there's anything else going on or if they have any issues, and I let them know when releases are coming out and try and spot check some stuff on a sandbox or like do things for them that are good for WordPress in seeing betas and nightly releases and stuff updated on other people's hosting environments. But at the same time, if the year goes by and someone says, hey, you know, we gave you $5,000 and it wasn't worth it, I've failed, and I really am not comfortable in being a failure with those things. So I really only want to have relationships and have people backing me that are confident and that I'm confident I'll be able to make sure that they feel like they're getting what they expected out of the deal. So
so now I want to go off script. You ready?
I mean, you were off script before. I really didn't expect to talk about this because it's, you know, It's one of those things. But
hey, we're going to talk about whatever we talk about on the show, whatever comes up, except for personal stuff. But anyways, well, we can get into that too.
You know, that's the after show, right?
Yeah. But so speaking of the community summit and being invited to speak there, I wanted to get your take on this.
Sure.
For some people in the WordPress community, let's say they're actively involved in the project. Maybe it's through the support forums. Maybe it's for GlotPress. Maybe it's for other projects in the WordPress community. They're heavily involved. They're contributing. They're doing patches, doing core. They're participating. And they don't receive an invite to the community summit. They don't receive an invite to be part of a series of discussions with other people to talk about the future of things or decisions. You know, maybe I'll just get your opinion. Should someone like that in that position feel slighted or feel like, wow, these people or the community really don't like me, or maybe these contributions were all for naught, or did they have no value? I mean, you know, there are some people I've seen who have expressed sort of those emotions on Twitter lately.
Whether or not they should, they are going to, and that is okay. Yeah,
maybe should is a right? bad word.
Yeah, no, it's not a bad word, but it's
justified. Maybe I don't.
Yeah,
know.
You know, it's there's a whole history. If anybody, you know, paid attention or cared years ago, and there's drama and there's non-drama and there's people that are upset and there's a whole lot of stuff. But not, with all of that stuff completely aside, this is in our community is a big deal. It is the gala. It's the ball. It's the big sort of thing that you expect to have someone ask you to. And at 1 year, we even had it and set it up where you had to kind of nominate yourself as like,
that was the one in Tybee.
Yeah. You should feel comfortable with your contributions enough to know that you're a leader or a thought leader or a contributor that will provide value to the project to attend that specific year. And it was to try something different. It was to see, engage what the results of these things were. And so if you feel like you are working really hard and then don't get the thing that you're hoping happens at the end of it, you have no choice but to feel let down or disappointed or like you are not valued the way that maybe you feel like you should be. And I've felt that way when I've applied to speak at WordCamps and not had my talk accepted, where I'm like, oh, well, that was a really good talk suggestion and I was really looking forward to giving it. But that doesn't mean that that mine was necessarily a bad or that it was personal or that it was about me. It probably had nothing to do with me. It had to do with the fact that there were 150 other talks that were for sure going to be way better than mine. So it's impossible to not feel upset about these things. But my advice, if anyone out there listening actually does feel this way, and I'm sure that there are people that do, I think where we are, where the WordPress is right now with summits and with community gatherings like this is a temporary-ish kind of thing, because it takes a company with millions of dollars to be able to afford to fly 500 people once a year to the same place all the time to do the same thing. And it takes many companies of many individuals to do this on an open source project. And with as many contributors as we have, with as many sub teams as WordPress has, with as many projects and individual pieces that are all overlapping and then not overlapping at all, it's really going to become a more, there's just no way that we can have every contributor always be at the same thing every year all the time, even if we really, really wanted it to be, because there's just so many people. It's, you know, you've got there's 10 of us that work on multi-site that are in multi-site dev chats. And that's just one thing that is a very small subset percentage of users. And so eventually what should probably happen is to have an annual multi-site summit and a customizer summit and, you know, whatever, because that's what happens at the community summit right now anyhow, is everyone puts stuff up on a board and then sort of very bar camp, round robin kind of style, votes on and picks the things that it is that they want to fit into 1 or 2 days worth of talks and then try and crank everything out in 1 or 2 days worth of coding. And it's great to have the energy of everybody all in the same place at the same time. And I have no doubt that there are people that are probably in Europe right now that maybe weren't invited to the summit that tried to get in anyways because they wanted to see if there was room or they wanted to help out. And they should be able to help out. And they can help out literally any other place at any other time. But the summits are kind of reserved for the limited amount of face time that a very small set of leaders in the community have to get stuff hammered out and done and accomplished for the next year.
And what you just said there, reserved for the limited amount of FaceTime, is one of the reasons why I was, hey, I have a story. I wasn't invited. The community summit in Tybee, on Tybee Island, I thought somebody would nominate me, but I understand why it kind of made sense for me not to attend because it was at that point in time where I was in a lull. In terms of my WordPress coverage and my involvement with the project. But I think the next community summit that happened, I was not invited to that either because they didn't want members of the media. They didn't want me reporting on anything that was going on there. They wanted it to be a focus on the various teams having an opportunity to discuss certain issues without me overhearing them and then boom, writing a story on the tavern, which, you know, hey, I'm more than willing to just sit there and listen to things and then maybe chime in here or there based on my experience. But, I didn't take it personal. I took a step back and I realized, you know, you're right. You know, this is like the premier opportunity to get rid of Slack, get rid of everything, talk about all these issues face to face that go on throughout the year. And I can respect that. And if I got any questions, want to know what's going on, I'll find out, you know, after the fact, or there's contributor day for people like me, who can get involved. But yeah, I think it's
one of the,
and again, if you contribute so much to the project, I think it's very easy to take something like that personally.
It is one of the things that's happened almost year over year, is how or to what degree that BuddyPress and BBPress receives some attention at the community summit. And to the point where it was kind of like every year, myself or someone would have to say, like, hey, you guys have all these groups that you're that are meeting up with, like the meta group or the support group or the plugins team is going to be there, but BuddyPress and BBPress are not on this list. And then they go, oh, sorry, it wasn't intentional. I'll add them on here real quick. And so it happens every single year with those two projects, and it's not because they don't care, because they don't belong there. And that's debatable, I think, too, whether or not BuddyPress and BBPress should have their own summits or be involved here or what. I mean, these are all things that are up in the air. But it if you take it personally, it only works against you. You don't you don't get to it. You just looks bad. So you kind of have to roll with it and say, okay, well, it's okay. And if it mattered, then it would have mattered. If these pieces of software, if I was actually pulling my weight as much as all of these other people were, then it wouldn't have even been a question. And if it is a question, means you have to change it up. You have to try doing something different or contributing in another way. Where next year, or if this is a goal that you want for yourself to achieve, you have to try something different and do something new and exciting, or get a following behind your idea, or have spend more time in Slack or on track or whatever else, so that a year or two later you've worked hard and that everyone looks and says, hey, yeah, you're in for sure. And, you know, not take it personally. It's It's not even really like the problem with the contributor summit and feeling this way is that it isn't really a competition. Like I think people sort of perceive it as one, but to have it be a competition is kind of to not do the, like you volunteer because you choose to volunteer because you enjoy volunteering. You don't volunteer because you want the award at the end of the year that says that you've done it. It's like, yeah, that's great. It's appreciated. Thank you. But you should do it because you enjoy doing it, or because it's part of what you believe in, or because you're able to do it because of your job, or whatever else. I mean, it's I have a lot of FOMO myself personally from not being in Europe, because like lots of my friends are there, Boone and Paul and a lot of Buddy Press contributors are there. But even in private, I told them the same thing, is you guys, like, please have fun and enjoy yourselves and time together in person. And, don't try to pull me in on anything unless I'm actually going to add something to the conversation, because trying to deal with a remote conversation, I'm going to come in and Skype's not going to work right, or the connection's going to be weird.
Your voice is going to be really low.
Voice is going to be really low, like that. There's something, like, whatever's going to happen is going to ruin everyone else's good time. And so it's better to work, you know, on whatever it is that you're able to work on while everyone else is at the contributor summit. I look at this honestly as like, there's not going to be a lot of activity in core track. A lot of teams are in person, so they're not going to be doing updates on the make blogs, and we're not going to be pushing a ton of code in other places until they have a chance to sit down and work together at a hackathon on a hack day. And so someone still has to be around to work the support forums, to idle and answer questions in Slack, to reply to tickets and triage and garden things.
That's where you come in, sir.
And that's where everyone that isn't at the summit comes in right now. This is their chance to step up and say, hey, while you guys are doing your thing, don't worry, I've got this under control. And that is the type of... it's kind of the type of attitude that gets you to a summit, if that's a thing that you care about and want to do.
Yeah. So, I mean, my apologies to the listeners out there if you think this is inside baseball, but you know, I just enjoy these types of conversations, because this is stuff that's going on. This is part of being part of an open source project like WordPress, where you have community summits. And then I'm glad that you took away that we discussed this without the drama, the vendettas, the agendas, because all that does in ways play factors into certain people, but no, we're not going to get into that, but holy moly.
You know, someday we should get into it. I think it's easier to talk about it. I mean, maybe not specifics, or maybe not anyone's personal stories or whatever else, but like, we're a lot of people, and we come from a lot of places with a lot of backgrounds and a lot of experience and a lot of perspectives on things. We're not going to agree, and it's okay to not agree. And there are going to be people who don't like each other for whatever reasons, and that's totally fine. Like, it doesn't have to be everyone loving each other all the time, as long as it's not people like lashing out at each other. And if it is, there's an escalation team, and if that doesn't work for you, then there are like other people that you can talk to. I don't know, it's like, drama is dumb.
yes it is. And you know, it kind of reminds me of August 18th, 2016. Where were you?
I like that. Why do you know the date exactly? Like, you pull it, like, you make it sound like you have this on the calendar and you look at it every day and you're like, this was the day that JTrip said that. I don't know.
Oh, this is the article I wrote where it's us versus them. And it was almost 100 comments, right? Where I talk about the private conversation I've had with people in the community, WordPress core's leadership, and some of the, you know, background talks that happen and decisions that are made because of those talks and things that are taboo. And we talk about, you know, on the surface, compassion, empathy, understanding, but down at a personal level, there are grudges, alliances, interactions between core members against other people. And there's all kinds of these dynamics involved that, you know, at some point maybe we could talk about, but it's hard to talk about without naming names and all that other stuff. And I don't want to get fired, and I don't want to cause any more trouble than I've already caused. But I was
I feel like I should look at this blog post. Did I comment on this blog post anywhere?
You might have. It was from August, but you know, in realms of what we just talked about, perhaps at a later date, we could dive into that more and because you and I have talked about it in private conversations on Slack about the things that go on behind the scenes that influence things on the surface.
Yep,
and there's all kinds of stuff that goes on like that, but
there's going to be there has to be. It's right. there will never not be conversations in private with people that are comfortable with each other more so than other people. It's and we're an open by default community, and when you're open by default means you have to decide to be private, and when things happen privately it feels even more weird than normal. So if we were private by default, no one would care. But because you know, things happen in a public eye, or they happen on Twitter, or they happen in Slack or on Track or whatever else, you know, you never know where someone's at in their lives, or where they're at in their head, or what they're thinking about, or how they perceive you, or what they think you think of them. And it's a complicated mix. The important thing, though, is at the end of the day, you're able to enjoy what you're doing and squash it if you want and try to. And if you can't, then just move on. It's okay. Doesn't have to be, you know, whatever.
Speaking of moving on. It's time for us to move on to
let's do that.
To our picks of the week, or I should say pick of the week.
I found one.
I almost busted you on the show. my pick this week is something brand new. It's called WPTestDrive.com. So you can test drive a handful of commercial themes and plugins before purchasing them. So if you go to the site, what it does, it creates a new WordPress instance with admin access where you can test plugins, themes, and their add-ons with or without demo content. The site's free. Test drive stay active for 10 days for registered users, or you can test drive it for free for 24 hours as a guest. And now the site uses affiliate links for the products available to be tested. So I was actually checking out Gravity Forms earlier today, and it was really nice with the demo content. So you could see how the form works. You could play around with it. You know, and as long as there's no distribution that's occurring with the commercial products that are on there, I think it's completely kosher. And I think it's actually something that maybe, you know, if these commercial themes and product companies don't already have a cool demo service, you know, maybe, I don't know, partner up with these guys or link to them and point customers to them if, you know, if they want to try out your product first. So pretty neat and also an interesting way of perhaps making some affiliate revenue. There's no reviews needed. You just let people try out the product, and if they like it, there's a link, click on it and buy it. So I wonder how that'll work for them. But overall, pretty neat service. Now, there's only a handful of plugins and a handful of themes. So it'll be interesting to see which products are added to that site over time. But it's pretty nifty. Works as intended. Pretty cool site.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool. They've got a ton of themes, actually. I mean, maybe not a ton, but there's two pages. They've got quite a few. That's pretty cool. That's a good pick. I like it.
Thank you.
My pick is, gosh, I hope, you know, I feel like since I'm a new co-host, I don't know the history of all, you know, 7,482 episodes. But but my pick of the week, I'm sort of cheating. I have to not pick one of mine, but I'm going to take a second to talk about the CampTix plugin. Do you guys ever talk about CampTix? Have you talked about CampTix before? CampTix is the plugin that powers most of WordCamp.org and all the ticketing. And the thing that's pretty cool about CampTix, I mean, aside from it being another one of those like crazy cool automatic plugins that, you know, they open source and, you know, everyone continues to build off of. But even though you would never really hear a lot about CampTix, there is like an entire ecosystem of plugins that are all also open sourced to help power everything that is now WordCamp.org. So CampTix was started by Konstantin Kovshevin back when I was at Automatic, and after I had helped me and Ryan Boren had done all the cleanup efforts on getting WordCamp all merged into WordPress.org at the time. And so now looking at WordCamp.org, there's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. There's 15 add-ons for CampTix that are all installed or ready to go for payment gateways, for badge generators of the ticketing itself, attendance, admin flags for event managers. There's like a whole suite of things that are in here to help make WordCamp.org sing and do all the things it does. And so while everyone is at WordCamp Europe next weekend and at the summit right now, I wanted to give a shout out and say thank you to everyone that has contributed to CampTix over the years, because without you, all of these awesome events would not really be possible the way that they are today. So great job, y'all. And that is my plugin pick of the week.
Nice. How about that? So started off with one plugin and you ended up with 15 picks.
I ended up with 15 picks. You know, I get started talking and then I don't stop. I have no TLDR. I just keep going. I can't help it.
All right. So that's going to do it for this episode of WordPress Weekly. Again, as a reminder, WordCamp Europe takes place starting tomorrow, I think, and goes through this weekend. Get your live stream ticket available on the WordCamp Europe website if you haven't already. I believe Owen Malik is going to interview Matt Mulloway on stage, so that should be a good interview. I'll be tuned in for that. And you can find show notes for this episode and all other episodes of WordPress Weekly on WPTavern.com. And you can follow me on Twitter at Jeffro, JeffrO. And you, Triple J?
Follow me on Twitter, GitHub at JJJ. If you'd like to talk more about WordPress sponsorship opportunities with me, I feel like I could, since we talked about it now, like I feel like I'm a spectacle on the show. sponsorwp.com is where I've hooked up some, at least a landing page to try and talk more about it. And yeah, that's it, y'all. Now are we gonna do an after show? Is that what happens now? I mean, I feel like we built this up, we hyped it up to be like you're gonna say thanks, y'all, and then you're gonna sign us off. Like we've got a whole other hour and a half that we talked about. No?
No, we're not doing that. Okay. All right. Everybody enjoy the rest of your week, your weekend. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you again next Wednesday afternoon. So long, everybody.
All right.